I'd like you to turn with me to the New Testament and to the third book of the New Testament, the Gospel as it is recorded by Luke, and the 15th chapter. The Gospel as it is recorded by Luke and chapter 15. We're going to read through this chapter together. It's a reasonably lengthy chapter of 32 verses, but I make no apology for that. We're going to read the chapter because these are the very words the Lord Jesus spoke as he too preached the gospel. Let's read together. Verse 1. Then drew near unto him, that's to Christ, all the publicans and sinners, for this reason, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they are the religious people of the day who had the law of God, had the Bible, they murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And so he, the Lord Jesus, spoke this parable. I want you to notice, first of all, this is one parable. It's not three parables. He spoke this one parable. Singular parable. What man of you, he said, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than, I want you to note this, please, note this, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. Either what woman having had 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine or pigs. And he wished to have filled his belly with the husks that the swine, the pigs, did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, note that, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he became angry. He was angry and he would not go in. And Therefore came out his father and entreated him, and he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you, and neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said, Son, thou art with me, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. There are two types of people in this hall. There are two types of people in this hall. I'll make the next statement in a moment. The two types of people in this hall are people who are saved by God's grace and people who are lost, still in the domain of Satan, still held in bondage by sin and Satan, still in the grip of the darkness of that life without Christ. That is succinctly the two categories of people in this hall. But I want to tell you there may be three categories in this hall, because the Lord Jesus was addressing three categories of people that day. He was addressing people who were saved. There were people in his presence who were saved, for the disciples heard the Lord Jesus speak this parable. But there were two other sets of people. There were those who wanted to be saved, and those that had no interest to be saved. They thought they were too good to be saved. They didn't think they needed to be saved. And I wonder whether there might be three groups of people in this hall. Those that are saved, I know that, because I stand by God's grace in that category. By God's grace, we stand in that category of those who have trusted Christ, born again of God, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But I wonder if there are two other categories of people in this hall. And maybe there's someone here, I pray that there is someone here, and you're seeking to be saved. And maybe there's somebody here, or people, plural, here, and you don't really have any interest to be saved. You're a bit like these scribes and Pharisees, and you kind of look down your nose on everyone, really, including Christ. Well, I do pray that you'll get saved too. But I have a message to you from God. I have a message to you if you want to be saved. And I have a message for you from God if you don't want to be saved. And it's the same message that the Lord Jesus told. This one parable concerns those who are sinners and who are lost. We must understand this. Now, when you get down to the elder and the younger son, if you want to make an application to the Christian life, I'll let you do that. But that's not the primary understanding, because the Lord Jesus told one parable here. And the shepherd that seeks for the sheep that was lost, and the woman that seeks for the coin that was lost, and the son that comes to himself that were lost, are all sinners that are lost. They were all dead. That's why he says concerning the son, he was dead. Now, you can't say that of a Christian. A Christian is never termed as dead. They've been made alive. Even a Christian that gets away from the Lord is never dead. They're still alive. But I want to point out to you that in every case, the Lord Jesus addresses these two categories of people, those that want to be saved and those that have no interest to be saved. And we find them in every part of the parable. You will find that there were 99 that had no interest in being saved and one that wanted to be saved, and the shepherd goes to seek after that. We'll think about that in a moment or two. There was one coin, which is a picture of one sinner that wanted to be saved, and 9 other coins that had no interest in being saved. We'll explain that in a moment or two. And there was one son that wanted to be saved, and one other son that had no interest in being saved. I want to tell you, the one sheep and the one coin and the one son, they all got saved. But the 99 and the 9 and the 1 perished. Let's think about that. The Lord Jesus speaks of a shepherd that goes after one sheep that was lost. I want to think with you about this sheep. It's lost because of its nature. It's lost because it is ignorant. Sheep. Sheep, by nature, wander away. I'm certainly not a sheep farmer. I've been responsible to look after a few sheep, and I did a bad job, I can assure you. Because those sheep, all they want to do is the opposite of what you want them to do. And you put a fence up, and they'll try and get through it. Goats are worse. But sheep still just want to do the opposite of what you want them to do. By nature, they're greedy animals. That's what I've come to learn. Very greedy. By nature, they want the best for themselves. By nature, they get lost. That's why the Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53, that's why it teaches us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're prone to going astray. You did not have to teach me when I was a child to go astray. My parents did not sit me down and give me lessons on how to sin when I was a small child. No, any parent in here who has children and any person in here who's been a child will know this, that they sin by nature. We go astray by nature. That's part of this Adamic race that we're born into. We'll come to that in the coin at the moment, in a moment or two. But I've never, ever had to teach my children to sin. I never sat them down then with 3 and taught them, right, today is lessons on how to be disobedient to dad and mum. Now you're 4, we're going to teach you how to lie. And now you're 5, we'll teach you how to steal. No, those things came by nature. And they came to me, and they came to you, and even the children in this hall know that we sin by nature. We go astray. We're like that sheep that's gone astray. But I ask you, as a sheep that's gone astray from God this afternoon, do you want to be rescued? Because this sheep had got away far from the shepherd. Is there anyone here that recognizes this? You have got far from the shepherd who is Christ. The shepherd who longs to save you. I'm very glad this is one parable. And I'm very glad it's a 3-pronged one parable. Why? Because this speaks of the totality of salvation. It speaks of the shepherd who is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the woman who is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And it speaks of the Father who is a picture of God the Father. And every person in the Godhead was involved in the salvation of precious souls. It was the shepherd that came to seek for the sheep. It's the Spirit that illuminates our minds concerning sin and the need to be saved. And it's the Father who waits to save you. Can you see now how you can't divorce any part of this parable? It's one parable. It's concerning sinners. It's concerning those who want to be saved. And it's concerning those who have no interest to be saved, the scribes and the Pharisees. And so the shepherd went out to seek for the sheep that was lost. I tell you, I'm very thankful that the Son of God left the heights of heaven to come to a cross to seek for me. Me, the chief of sinners. Me who rebelled against God so often. Me who shook my fist at God. Me who deserved eternal judgment. Listen, it says he went until he found it. That's commitment. He would go to hang upon a cross, as we've been hearing this morning. He would go to the very depths of the unknown. He would take the very judgment of God in all its unmitigated fullness to save a lost sheep like me. I just enjoyed reading the words of that hymn. He's so tender, he's so kind, he's so compassionate that he came out from glory. He left and laid aside the splendors of that divine place and veiled himself in human form, and even veiled that human form, because one day we will see him in that human form and it will be unveiled. And it says this in the book of the Revelation, where we're studying on Wednesday nights, that when we see him in his full orb, unveiled human form, he will shine above the brightness of the sun. That's in his human form as a man. Christ, he came into this world to seek and to save sinners, and he was prepared to veil that human form and be the lowly carpenter of Nazareth and go all the way to a Roman criminal's cross to take the judgment that I deserve. Thank God for the shepherd who came to save the sheep that was lost. But there were 99 that had no interest of being saved. Someone asked me a question recently. They texted me from another country about this verse. And they said, Clive, who do you think the 99 are that were left in the wilderness? Do you think they're Christians or they're non-Christians? Well, my response back to that person, as it is to everyone that asked me a question, is, my opinion doesn't count for anything. What does the Bible say? And it tells you the answer to that question in verse 7. Look at it. It says, 99 just persons that need no repentance. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says there is none who are just. And the Bible says that we all need to repent. These majority here in the first two and the son in the last one who was angry is a picture of the Pharisees and scribes that did not think they needed to repent. They thought they had no need of repentance. This is not Christians that we're talking about here. This is one precious soul in the Corroy Gospel Hall on the Sunday, the 1st of March at 2:30 in the afternoon, who says, yes, I am the sheep for whom Christ came. There may be 99 other people in the Gospel Hall this afternoon who says, I don't need to repent. When I see God, I'll tell him this. There's myriads of people across Corroy this afternoon who think they're going to teach God a lesson, and they're going to tell God this, and they're going to make some way of excuse or have some way of escape. My friends, let me tell you, if you're left in the wilderness, you will perish. But you could be caught up by the arms of the Savior today. Look at what the shepherd does with this sheep. When the sheep surrenders to the shepherd, for that's what it must do. Let me tell you, with the very, very scanty, less than scanty knowledge that I have of what it is to own sheep, let me tell you, they don't come willingly. They're stubborn. They're prone to going away. You try to help them and they struggle. I don't know how many times we've tried to trim the toenails or to do what we need to do to get the ticks off them or whatever. You have to bribe them. You try to help them, they struggle and try to get away. But this sheep surrenders to the shepherd. So much so he picks it up. I can only imagine it's exhausted. Can I read you the words from that hymn again? I was far away from Jesus, dead in trespasses and sin. No, that's not the one, but it would be quite fitting. Can someone find that hymn for me? 706. Thank you. I was looking at 760. I was wandering and weary when the Savior came to me, and the ways of sin grow dreary and the world has ceased to woo me. I hope there's someone here that you feel like I felt when I got saved. Sin became so miserable to me. Sin that was once pleasurable to me. Sin that I once took great delight in. I remember 24 hours before I got saved, I was at a house party. On Saturday night, I got saved on Sunday night, the 7th of July, 2002. On the 6th of July, on that Saturday night, I was at a house party, indulging in alcoholic beverages and recreational drugs. And the things that were going on in that house party once held me, once enticed me, once gave me such pleasure. And I remember going down to the basement of that house that night and feeling so miserable in my sin. So, so empty. I think I may have even got saved that night, but I didn't know the shepherd and I hadn't heard his voice. And the next night I went to the gospel meeting and I certainly heard the shepherd's voice through the voice of the preacher calling me to come. And that night I surrendered willingly. Do you know he put me on his shoulders, and the Bible says he does not put me down until he gets me home. When you get saved forever. He put the sheep on his shoulders and he walked all the way home, and it was only when he got home he called his friends and his neighbors. That will be the day of rejoicing. But let me tell you, there were 99 other persons who were lost because they did not think they needed to repent. It was always about other people. It was always other people's faults. It was always other people's sins. I speak to people like this continuously. I was like this before I got saved. It's every other excuse. It's everyone else's fault. The world is sinful because of everyone else out there. Stop. Stop being the person that thinks you don't need to repent, that I'm too just, I'm too righteous. No, be like this sheep and surrender to the shepherd. The coin. It was lost and dead because it was a member of Adam's race. Now, of course, this is a picture, just like the sheep is a picture. If I had a coin in my pocket, I would illustrate for you. I don't, and I'd like even the children to see this. If I had a coin, right, boys and girls, I get a coin, and if I had dropped that coin and it went under one of these seats and I didn't know where it was, right, and I couldn't see that coin, how would that coin alert me that it needed to be found? Okay, there's a coin, it's rolled over there under Dave's seat, and I can't see it. Now, I'm just going to stop here for a moment, and I'm going to you boys and girls, listen to this, okay? We're going to ask the coin to call out. Coin, where are you? Did you hear anything? What can the coin do for itself to be found? Nothing. It can't do anything to rescue itself because it's a coin, right? Do you know without the Holy Spirit coming into this world, every single person of the human race would have been lost. Every person of the human race would be under the judgment of God for the lake of fire. Every person, without excuse, there wouldn't have been one, because I read my Bible and it tells me there is none that understand. There is none that seek God. There is none that are righteous. And just in case we didn't understand that in its totality, it underscores it again. There is none that are righteous. No, not one. There is none that would seek after God. I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit did come into this world. That's the picture of the woman. And for you Christians, just as a little aside for your study, you note how many times in the Bible the Holy Spirit is pictured as a woman, because it's the place of submission. And the Holy Spirit here is pictured as a woman here. And the Holy Spirit lights the... Now I'm looking for that coin now. I'm looking for that coin. And I've got a light. And all is in darkness here. All the lights have gone out. And I've got this lamp. And I'm looking for this coin. And I'm going to... I suddenly can see the coin. Here's the coin. I found the coin. Because the Bible is telling us that we could be rescued, we could be found by God, but it would take the Holy Spirit. So can I tell you, my friends, when you feel the Holy Spirit calling you to come to Christ, don't resist. When you feel the pleadings of the Holy Spirit to turn from your sin, I can still remember, and I know I've told this before here in the Gospel Hall when I've given my testimony, I can still remember in the 90s when I was living in sin and going up to the top of a flight of stairs. I could take you to that very house, 25 Kingsdale Road, Penge, SE26 in London. And I got to the top of that stairs. I put my hand on the banisters and I remember thinking in my mind, the way I was living was in sin. I was living with a girlfriend outside of the bonds of marriage, living in fornication, and I was living in sin. I remember putting my hand on the banisters, and that thought went into my mind. Can I ask you the question? Did Clive Barber give himself that thought? Not a chance. Not one chance. It was the Holy Spirit of God that put that thought into my mind as a young 20-something year old. And I went around, and I remember saying this to myself as I went around onto the landing of that home. I remember saying to myself, it's the 90s, everyone does it. It was the 90s, and everyone did and still does do it. But I stand here today to thank God in your presence for continuing to strive with me by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today. I don't know what's in the recesses of your heart or your mind, and how many times you've heard the Word of God preached and read, and how many times you may have read it yourself, and how many times you've heard the promptings of the Holy Spirit in the middle of the night. You know, I woke up last night around midnight. I'd been asleep for a few hours. And the very first thing in my mind, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but it was a thought concerning the things of God. It was a thought concerning, it was almost as though I woke up and it was right there in my mind. I knew I needed to get out of bed and I needed to speak to the Lord. And I did that. And I spent 2 hours from 12 till about 2 this morning speaking to God about the very thing that He woke me up with in my mind. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, but I do know this. You can do nothing to save yourself. You're as dead as that coin when it comes to saving yourself. But you can surrender and you will be found. But there were 9 other coins and they were lost. As in this, they represent those that thought they had no need of repentance. Look at what he says in verse 10. Likewise, again, linking it to what has gone before, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repents. I thank God for that one sheep and that one coin, but I tremble before you when I think of the 99, the majority, and I think of the 9 that would perish in their sin because they didn't think they needed to repent. Finally, the Son. I was speaking to a sister about this in the break. We have an exceedingly gracious God. I know we speak about second chances. I'm not sure how many chances you got before you got saved, but I got more than 2. I probably got more than 2 million. I don't know how many countless times God, by His Holy Spirit, persevered with my sin-stricken soul to save me from the lake that burns with brimstone and fire, that I might be rescued. As Christians, we stand before you with the light of the gospel. And while I preach, there are Christians that are praying for you. We stand as beacons, as testimony to the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God, and the patience of God. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, He is not willing that any should perish. He is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what He wants. And the Son, awakened by difficult, diverse circumstances in a far country. This is a picture of a person who has said no to God, no to God, no to God. I've wandered away in sin and I'm rebellious and I'm far away from God and I know that I'm far away from God. And God has brought difficult circumstances into the life of this individual to knock on the door of the heart. Wake up. Wake up, he's saying. Would you be like this son? Would you say, I will arise. I will go. I will say, listen to the attitude of this young man, so different from the 99 who thought they did not need to repent, so different from the 9 and from the elder son. I will arise. I will go to my Father. The very Father of eternity. The one who seeks that relationship with you, who created you with purpose. I am so thankful when God puts people into difficult circumstances. Many people say, if there's a God. It's kind of said with this scorn. If there's a God, why is there so much suffering and sorrow and sickness in this world? If there's a God, why this? If there's a God, why that? I'll tell you why those things. It's to wake you up. Because I tell you, if you had an easy life, you'd never seek God. If you had completely perfect circumstances, you would never think about God. It was difficult circumstances that woke me up. It's difficult circumstances. You know, I speak to people and they say, I'm going through a difficult time. Can you pray for me? Well, it's amazing how we suddenly think and speak about God when we've got difficulty on our hands. I was listening to a radio broadcast just yesterday going along in the car. And it was a radio broadcast, a religious so-called radio broadcast. And the person there was describing about how religion had been beneficial to them. I don't believe this person was a Christian, but they were describing about how religion had been beneficial to them. And they said this, it's so beneficial to us because when we go through difficult circumstances, we have someone to pray to. It's funny that, isn't it? We want someone when it gets tough, but when it's easy, we dismiss God. We don't think about him. I am very thankful that God uses these circumstances to awaken us. This hymn, at first I would not hearken, and put off till the morrow, but life began to darken, and I was sick with sorrow. At last I'd stoop to listen, his voice could not deceive me, I saw his eyes, his kind eyes glisten, so anxious to relieve me. That's the Father. That's the one who waits. He doesn't wait with a big stick so that he can knock you when you run to him. He waits for you to surrender. There will be judgment for those who finally reject him. There will be the lake of fire. There will be the 99 and the 9 and the elder son who miss God's salvation. But we're preaching to you, one sinner. Forget about your neighbor. Forget about your family. Forget about your children. Just you, the one sinner who repents. May God help you. May you come to the arms of the Father. May you prove him to be who he is, the most gracious and kind and loving Father. Look at what he says when the son says, he begins to say, Father, I've sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. He just ignores it. He says to the servants, bring the second-hand robe. Aha. Just checking to see if anyone was asleep. Bring forth the best robe. This was the son who had been with the harlots and in the pig swill and in the far country, who had gone far away from God and taken the resources of God, squandered them in the face of God. He says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The shoes on his feet, the garments of salvation, the shoes on the feet, I'm now elevated from this world, walking a new pathway, and the ring. When you see this ring on my hand, you know that I'm married. Isn't that true? You know that I belong to another. And I tell you this afternoon, my friends, I belong to another. And that's Christ. Do you? Do you? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? In the name of God, I beseech you, don't be like the older son and be angry. Be like the sheep, the singular sheep, the singular coin, and the singular son. And prove the totality of God's salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray.